house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. Feels good to feel Jesus. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Amen. Brother Corbett, remain standing. Give us a report today. We had jail ministry today. The truth will set them free. They may be an inmate, but they don't have to be one on the inside. Amen. Are you thankful for the word of God? Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise tonight. Praise God. Woo. Amen. We welcome everybody to the house of the Lord tonight. So blessed to have with us from the great state of Maryland. Now, just because, you know, when I was a kid, anybody from up north, I thought lived in big cities. And when we met Sister Carmen, she's, oh, no. I'm a country girl. And we're so thankful for that. We're so honored to have her mother and her brother with us from Maryland. What a joy. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We're just blessed people, and we're so thankful that God's presence in your life and your daughter, the great things God's doing for her and will do for her because she's a willing vessel. Amen. I don't know if you know this, and she's testified here, but some, you probably missed it. Carmen has been, she's, it's not like going to jail, she served time, no. She gave time for the Lord, amen, for a year in the Netherlands. Am I correct? Scotland. And she's been other places in the UK as well. And we're so thankful that we have somebody that has tasted of the mission field in foreign countries and what God is doing. And her heartbeat is for missions. And we're so thankful for the burden and the vision of this young lady. Oh, God, let it be contagious. Amen. Let it be contagious. Amen. Let it get so contagious that people will be soul winners right here at home. Amen. We're blessed today, everyone in the house of the Lord, amen, that you're here, amen, and we're so honored just to feel the King of Kings. God is not a guest. We are the ones who are blessed by his presence. He's the one that's made us his people, an honorary position as his child, amen. He didn't have to do it, but he did it for us, amen, that we could be part of his fold, his flock, his people, his church, his bride. Amen. Oh, look at your neighbor. Said, you'll make a good bride. You can say it to your brother. Amen. The bride of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And we're so honored. Brother Ashton and Brother Thomas, would you help me pass these out? I'd have lost several of you already tonight. Amen. We're honored for the goodness of the Lord tonight, what God has done for us. Amen. We want to follow the leading of the Lord this night. We're so thankful for the Bible study we had Sunday in between services. Amen. Brother Luis and Sister Maria, we had a Bible study into his marvelous light and talking about the necessity of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we're so thankful that we was able to do that, and it was interpreted by Brother Will. And I am surprised how much Spanish I'm learning. And I'm surprised how much English they're learning. And same thing with Brother and Sister Perez. Amen. They know more English than what we think. And we're so thankful for it, what God is doing in their lives. And we're ready for God to do great things in our communities. Amen. And I'm glad that God just don't speak English. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in another language. Hallelujah. As the Spirit giveth you utterance. Praise God. We're blessed tonight. Amen. We want to go to the word of the Lord, and you can remain seated as you get your paper. We're going to Titus, the second chapter. Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. Just a Sunday night ago, I preached about God has grace for foolishness. And I don't care how bad you've been, how foolish. You ever caught yourself in saying, I'm foolish. I've done some foolish things. I'm glad for the grace of God. Tonight we're going to talk about grace versus tolerance and how important grace, the grace of God, is. But grace has a activating substance that we're going to learn about tonight. Grace just don't happen. God just don't shed forth his grace without something happening that you activate it. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. But Titus, the second chapter, permit me to read from my Bible. Amen. As you have your Bible open tonight, I hope you have your sword with you. We could post it on the board tonight on those screens. And it's written for you on your paper, but I'll tell you what, it does better when you have it in front of you in your hand. Amen. Through the word of the Lord. Somebody say amen. While we're talking about that, do you know a Muslim, the highest place in their house is where they keep their Quran, their holy book. But do you know they believe the Bible's a holy book too? They believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. And they believe that there is one God. There cannot be three. That's why they fail against Christianity, because Christianity as a whole begins to swallow the concept of false deity of having a Trinity. Three people is God. But how many are glad that there's just one God? Amen. Ephesians 4:5 says one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all, and woo, you ought to give the Lord a hand. I know you have it, but give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. And from a child, I've learned that old song, one way to God, baptized in Jesus' name. Not three, not two, but one. One way to God. You know, there's times in the jail I was saying that. We're doing jail ministry. I just felt the Lord say, hey, they never heard this song. And I get them to singing one, one, one. And most of them, they never heard it. A lot of them don't know what I'm talking about at first. But I'm glad when they see it, that God fills people with the gift of revelation and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Titus, the second chapter, verse 11 through 12. The scripture says here, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth what? Hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace of God will bring salvation. Hath appeared to all mankind, men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The key thought tonight, grace is not tolerance. Grace is God's response towards true repentance, the quitting of sin. Look at your neighbor, said repentance is the quitting of sin. Isn't it crazy that everybody wants to say, God, I turned my sin into you. Everybody wants to turn their sin into God without turning themselves into God. You see, you got to do more than turn your sin. You got to turn yourself in order to repent. You could ask God to cleanse you and use God as a spiritual car wash. But if God don't have your heart and God don't have the driver's seat and the wheel, you just ask him for something and you hadn't made something happen in your life. Repentance means you're quitting sin. And tolerance, on the other hand, allows sin to stay. There is no similarity at all between the two. And I've just spoke volumes there, but I spoke truth. Amen. Now, my introduction tonight is on your paper, but I want you to catch it. Grace, the definition is God's unmerited favor to humanity. And it's rooted in his holiness and his love. Undeserved favor extended to humanity. But tolerance is acceptance or allowance of something, even if it's wrong or harmful. when you start tolerating something, accepting something, allowing something, even though it's wrong, it's the opposite of grace. God don't tolerate sin. God has grace for sin. Now, I want you to notice the core difference. Grace leads to transformation and freedom from sin through repentance. Remember a while ago? Repentance is that activating source that causes grace to come alive in your life. How many needs the grace of God? You got to stay repented. Everybody say amen? Now, tolerance leaves sin unchecked and allow it to persist and fester. Tolerance just leaves sin, you know, unchecked and, oh, it's all right. But we find when you allow it to continue to grow, it takes roots. It will produce fruit very quickly. And it deceives you and destroys you. Look at what grace does tonight. Grace calls for repentance. We read it while ago in Titus 2. It teaches us to quit sin. God wants you to learn how to quit sin. Not to coexist with it. I'm thankful God wants overcomers. God don't want subcomers, but he wants overcomers. Those that learn to deny ungodliness. That when that word deny doesn't mean I didn't do it. That's not that word deny right there. That word deny means I'm not letting it come in. I'm not letting it stay in. And I'm not keeping it in any longer. Amen. Denying ungodliness. So it teaches us to quit sin, not to coexist with it. A good example is a prodigal son. Luke, the 15th chapter, he returned in repentance. Look what happened when he returned in repentance. Grace restored him. How beautiful to see that. If you want another example, Psalm 51 is not in your notes, but David's repentance. God forgave David of adultery, lying, murder, because he sought God with a heart of contrition. He repented. Grace requires acknowledgement of sin and a desire to turn away from it, to have no longer anything to do with sin. Are you thankful that God is a forgiver of those that will repent of their sin? Amen. Do you remember the day that you first repented of your sin? Do you remember that hour, amen, that you knelt and you finally surrendered it over to God? How beautiful it was for me to say, here am I, God. Amen. Completely. Everything is yours. You see, when you're sold out, the sold out can't be bought out. Thank God. The next thing tonight that you find in your notes is we look at what grace does, but let's look at what tolerance does. Tolerance compromises holiness. It compromises. And you read in Revelation, the second chapter, verse 20, and looking at that. Can I get a reader tonight? I like the congregation to participate sometimes. It's up here, but can I get a reader tonight? Revelation, the second chapter, verse 20. Read it, brother. Okay. Here, Jesus is rebuking the church in Thyatira for tolerating Jezebel's sinful teachings. We know Jezebel wasn't alive, but her spirit was there. Spirit of rebellion. To tolerate rebellion to come in. And the influence of rebellion was tolerated. So, Jesus rebuked it. I want you to look. And our note says, tolerance of sin is a subtle trap. Subtle trap, S-U-B-T-L-E. It diminishes the seriousness of sin. It creates complacency in spiritual growth. Hear me. When the seriousness of sin is downplayed by a church, by a pastor, and by people, we've got a problem. We've got a big problem. Sin is still sin. Rebellion is still rebellion. But when it's diminished down to a place that it don't matter, we got serious trouble. And here we find right now the seriousness of sin and rebellion is related to the sin of Jezebel. It creates complacency in spiritual growth. And when something is not growing spiritually, it begins to decline. And when the spirit in a person is not being fed, led, and you start tolerating and letting other things in, pretty soon you're going to quench the spirit. And when you quench the spirit, it's like starving a fire of its fuel. Pretty soon your fire's going to go out. Then another scripture says resisting the spirit. Resisting means holding back and resisting that. And I want to just tell somebody today, it's important to keep the things of God the things of God. Amen. We got to grow. We got to go somewhere spiritually. The Holy Ghost, again, I repeat this because I want it so much in our hearts and minds in this church. I'm responsible for the leading of this church and teaching you and discipling you. The Holy Ghost is not a diploma. It's a birth certificate. Just because you receive the Holy Ghost doesn't put you on the other side. You haven't accomplished, but you have power to make it now. You've got to keep the fire going in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want you to look at what grace does. Grace empowers a transformation. Can I get 2 Corinthians 5:17? A reader for that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Grace empowers a transformation. Boy, I'm so thankful for that. Brother Colton, go ahead. See, grace does not merely cover sin, your note says, but it cleanses and empowers a new life. I'm thankful that God is able to transform. Only a creator can create. Man can manufacture, but only a creator can create. Are you thankful that you've fallen in the hands of the great creator who is able to create in you a clean heart and renew in you a right spirit? What a mighty God we serve tonight. He's still in the creating business, transforming business. How many of you, he has transformed your life? We were dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and in sin. But when the Holy Ghost comes in, God quickens you or makes you alive. Thank the Lord for that life-giving source. Amen. A friend of ours just recently, in fact, my son-in-law, his mother died in the hospital. And it took them a bit to get her back alive the other day. She had coded and they continued to work on her. And just about when they were ready to give up, they one more little effort and they got her back. I was going down for the last time, the old song says, and nobody heard my cry. I was drifting aimlessly. But a hand from out of nowhere reached down to where I was. Are you thankful that he was just in time? And his quickening, life-giving power is still there to give us life and it more abundantly. Amen. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to talk about the truth about tolerance tonight. The society we're living in, it's concerned with not hurting anyone's feelings and being tolerant to every and any little thought, belief, or action. Man, you can tell when people are starting to backslide because they get their feelings hurt over everything. They have excuses for everything. I have a pastor's wife that has kept a lot of things that has been said to them through the years. Excuses and little comments, little things that were said. And it's amazing what people utilize as an excuse. You know, they could be at work the next day for the almighty dollar, but they can't come to the house of God. You know, we've been so busy, Pastor. You know, my yard just was, you know, knee high and I had to mow it. Or, you know, I just had to, and, but you ask them and they have multiple excuses and they feel like they're legitimate to them. But when you weigh it all in, it's how crazy. I mean, friend, I want to tell you, living for God matters. There's no excuse. Amen. There should not be any option. Amen. This is not a multiple choice. This is not a computer game where we play and if we lose out, we could just restart the button and say, whoop, I got another life. No, no, you got one life to live. And we better give all we can for Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Be all you could be while you can. You're not promised tomorrow. But the society we live in is concerned with not hurting anyone's feelings and being tolerant to every little thing. Because of Christianity, it's called to love people. The world attempts to impose that we give a blanket of tolerance to everything. In the moment that you begin to take a stand, you're the one taking a stand, you're called judgmental. If all of a sudden they get flaunted, they could flaunt their homosexuality in somebody's face, but the moment that you step up and say, I'm sorry, we don't do that, all of a sudden you become the violator. They could teach it to the kids in school in some places, and they could promote it and even have their drag queens in places for kids, but the moment you step up, you, how dare you? You become the offender, so to speak. And they said, but you're supposed to be a Christian. And they use the blanket of tolerance. Many throw the concept around as though it's some type of fix for all the issues. But tolerance is one of actually the most destructive approaches to life. You let the termites have a little bit, they'll take a lot. They never sleep. Termites never sleep. In fact, they eat and eat and eat and eat. And pretty soon, the strength of a house is completely gone because of termites. I'm telling you, you let sin in, you compromise, and you tolerate it. It would steal, kill, and what? Yes, indeed. Love builds, but tolerance will always destroy in the end. Tolerance leaves people where they are, but love pulls people up to their God-designed purpose. I'm thankful that God has a way up. God wants you to step up. God don't want you to be something that's stumbling down in life. Amen, that is crumbling down. God will strengthen you in your relationship. A relationship with God should be stronger towards the end, not weaker. Thank the Lord for that. God has power and peace for you. And I would much rather see someone's life improve and grow than just sit by and watch them destroy their lives in the name of tolerating their beliefs and actions. And another thing, while we're there talking about tolerance, ain't it crazy that whenever you start dealing with people always, when they get their feelings hurt, when they get their feathers wet, I mean, all of a sudden they will pout, they get mad, they get upset, they start blaming, they point fingers, they think the whole church is against them, they think everybody's against them, it becomes everybody's fault. But I want you to just think about it. Amen. Carnality, a carnal mind, is enmity against who? God. And as a pastor and as a church, we better have a backbone in this hour. But you can't have a backbone without strong knee bones. You better have a prayer life. Somebody say amen. Amen. So here, we just don't want to sit back. We come to the place that, number one, the Bible isn't about tolerance. It's about truth. Think about it. Tolerance leaves people in bondage, but truth sets them free. While God loves us right where we are at, where we are, His grace covers our sin and our mistakes. He boldly calls us to consider the truth of His word and to submit to it. Think about it. There are not multiple truths, but there's only one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. We're living in an hour where people feel that there's multiple places. We're all going to heaven. I had somebody tell me that recently. I said, you know, Pastor, we're all going to heaven. I said, oh, no, we're not. I said, we're all not going to heaven. He said, what do you mean? He said, Jesus died for all. And I said, yes, he did die for whosoever. But he also gave some stipulations. And he liked to come apart when I said, good people go to hell. Good people go to hell. And I said, righteous people go to heaven. People that obey the truth. Obey God's plan of salvation, the one that will make it to heaven through Jesus Christ. Can't get it any other way. Truth must be honored in your life. The next thing, the Bible isn't about tolerance, it's about grace. It's not about tolerance. Look at this. Tolerance ignores. Tolerance ignores, but grace strengthens. That's the big difference. Tolerance ignores and says, oh, well, it'll work itself out. It'll take care of itself. If you don't kill the spider, it'll continue to put webs in your life. If you don't get rid of the rat, he's going to have multiple rats in your house. And when sin starts to work, sin has an aim to destroy you and to work in your heart and your mind. We don't ignore the things that displeases God. It's not about tolerance. It's about grace. We read a while ago, and this is paraphrased here in Titus 2, 11 through 12. We read it a while ago, but for the grace of God hath appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly in this present age. Everybody needs to develop in their spirit and have vitamin N. Y'all remember what vitamin N is? No. You better learn to say no, or else you're going to be going, oh. You better have a no in your life against sin, against things that are anti-God and anti-righteous. Be able to say no. Be able to boldly say no. Don't give it a second chance, second thought. God's word should be number one in your life. Number three, the Bible isn't tolerant. Isn't tolerance? It is about transformation. Tolerance leaves us in a mess, but the word of God transforms us. God's word causes us to align our lives to his word. When you align yourself to his word, it ultimately will transform your life. Hear me. When you get in touch with God, you get in tune with the word of God, something starts changing in your life. God will change it when you obey the truth, apply the truth, align yourself with the truth. Now, let me just say this. Brother, when you play that bass up there, you got to make sure it's in tune. I mean, it may sound good, but if it's not in tune, it's not in tune. We've got to be in tune with the word of God. Not with the world. Not with our feelings. Not with our concepts. Not with opinions. Not with TikTok. Amen. Not with all these other social media things. And we're not even in tune with the ideology of anybody else but the word of God. Thank God for the word. Tolerance cripples, but love, grace, and truth will empower you. Boy, to help you to soar and walk with God, Thomas. When you begin to put your hand in the hand of God, God's going to take you somewhere because he's the great shepherd. And he's the rock of all ages. He will not fail you. He is absolute. He would not leave you. He won't forsake you. He's going to keep you because he's the keeper of his word. Now, number four, the Bible isn't about tolerance, it's about peace. Tolerance avoids difficult topics that may offend. fill in the word offend there. But peace only comes as a byproduct of correctly dealing with tough issues. You got to deal with issues. Peace is something we work out in relationship. It just don't naturally happen. James, the third chapter, verse 18. The fruit of the Spirit is sown in peace of them that, somebody say it, make peace. You could develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys result only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor, with righteousness. Hear me today. I could be a nice person, but if I'm not being righteous, something is happening in my life. Something is lacking. I want the righteousness of God. How about you? I want my light to be shining. I could be good, and I could have goodness and charity. I could have all these different things in operation. But if God is not the center of my heart, my life, I become deceived and fooled. I want to stand up, and I want the word of God to be strong in my heart. Somebody say amen. So what's the point of this lesson tonight? The goal isn't to pick a fight with everyone that has a different opinion, but rather to call all of us to be more concerned with honoring God's word and helping people to live freely, live in freedom, than to live to offend and please the ever-changing opinion, walking around constantly going, I don't want to offend them. I don't want to get the red flag out or the orange flag out. And I don't want a flashing light. You know, the bridge is out, but I'm afraid if I try to steer them, I'm afraid to put a barricade there, they may get their feelings hurt. If I try to tell them, you know, the bridge is out. I'd rather have somebody tell me that the bridge is out 2 miles before I get there than while I'm going over the ledge and, by the way, the bridge is out. And I would rather have somebody in my life that would tell me the truth before I face falseness or deception or foolishness way before I get there. I want to be able to fight the good fight of faith and step for the things of God. If it's wrong, I want it to be wrong to my heart. Amen. I want it to be right with God. And I want to oppose those things of darkness. Somebody say amen. So tonight, amen. Of course, we must do what Ephesians 4:15 says. It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ Jesus. Again tonight, listen carefully. Grace is not tolerance. Grace is God's response to true repentance, the quitting of sin. Only when you repent does God's grace begin to completely work. It activates grace. Tolerance allows sin to stay. And remember, there's no absolute similarity at all between the two. And in Bible quizzing years ago in 1985, I memorized the book of Acts. And still today, Acts 3:19 stands very strongly. And it's written there for you. Anybody else without looking can quote it? Did you memorize the book of Acts, Coley? Anybody else who's in Bible quizzing? Acts 3:19. All right, you can't look, okay? You ready? I'll give you a few words. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Sister Becky was a coach. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come for the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful that God changes us when we finally say yes to him and no to sin. Amen. I believe it's okay right now to stretch your hands to Jesus and say, thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your goodness and power, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for helping me to change and transform my life with your goodness and grace. Thank you for grace teaching me, Lord, and helping me, God. Helping me, God, not to tolerate sin. God, for putting a distaste for the things of the world. Thank you for your goodness today, God. Thank you for the difference you make. I love and I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this scripture says, so repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins, and return to God. Seek his purpose for your life so that your sins may be wiped out, so that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. On the back of your paper, I wrote several things that, I found these today. A friend of mine is a very, very, he's a great writer, and I borrowed these from him, and he gave me permission to share these with you tonight. And these fit in with what we talked about. And I just want to go over them. The world treats you better than the church because the church frowns at sin. The world cheers your sin because it validates their sin. So when somebody says, oh, the world treats you better than... Remember this little thought. Next thought. 8 billion people on the earth have 8 billion points of view. That is why I trust in the word of the Lord. It never changes and it's always right. The next one, the gospel. You could take it or leave it, mock it, despise it, work furiously against it, but you can never escape it. You will answer to it. Next one, modern Christianity is under euphoric decision that God is okay with carnal, worldly, selfish, materialistic, vain, and idolatrous living. But God is not. God's not okay with it. The next one, the Bible is the living word. When you open its pages, it speaks to you. It finds your faults and failures and leads you to the true way that you must follow. Next one. The world madly hates Christians who refuse to approve of its worldliness. A Christian who dares to reject the world's lure is blacklisted. I've been blacklisted. Yes, sir. I've been blacklisted. Christianity is not something that you add to your style of living. Is what you replace of your style of living with. His way, not your way. Too many Christians act as though they have no obligation to submit to God's commandment. They play a grace card instead of obeying God. But really, a grace card doesn't work if you have not submitted and repented. Next thought. Church used to convict sin and compel you to an altar, repent. Now it entertains, makes you feel good, even if you're the devil incarnate. Next thing, if you're surrounded by a social circle who only laughs at your carnal, worldly, or sinful ways, you're in big trouble. Find godly friends. Someone told Martin Luther, the whole world is against you. Luther replied, then, I'm against the whole world. God-fearing men must stand. Next one, if you're serious about doing the will of God, you have to burn the bridge that takes you back to the world. I'm going to repeat that because I feel to emphasize it tonight. If you're about doing the will of God, you have to burn the bridge that takes you back to the world. I don't want to go back to the old dungeon. I don't want to go back to the pig pen. I don't want to go back to my past. Amen. I want to live for Jesus Christ. Above all else, I must be saved. Satan does not have to cripple you, bankrupt you, or destroy you. All he has to do is occupy your mind and flood it with distractions. Get you away from a place of prayer. Get you a place so enwrapped in your feelings that you quit praying. Quit taking serious the things of God. That it don't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. That you're fooled and feeling like you got plenty of time. And hang on. There was another one that is not on your notes that I think. Oh. Most people know that they feel like the Lord is coming at 12. You know, midnight cry. But ain't it crazy? They say, well, I'll wait to 11:30 to get right. And they die at 10:30. In other words, amen, we need to be ready to meet God. We can't afford to play and think, oh, well, I got a little time to play around. I got plenty of time to go get me some more oil. And while they slept, the bridegroom came. And those that did not have their oil and their lamps ready, trimmed and burning, were left behind. Amen. This is serious. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Are you thankful for the seriousness that you feel about this walk with him? Amen. Won't you stand with me, lift your hands and talk to Jesus with me tonight. Lord, teach me and help me, Lord, to make it. Put it deep inside my spirit, Lord. I want to finish the course. I want to be ready, Lord Jesus. I don't want to be fooled. I don't want to be deceived, Lord. I don't want to tolerate the things out in my life, God. God, that will cost me, Lord Jesus. That will cause my relationship with you, Lord, to go dim. I pray tonight that you would give me boldness to declare your word and to say no and to resist. Teach me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and help me to live as an overcomer. I give you praise and I give you glory. Somebody say in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus?
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the blood?
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo!
Thank you,
are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord? Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Anybody has a thought that goes with our lesson tonight? Something that you garnished or gathered or thought of while I was teaching that would go with this? Anybody? That's it. If you don't dig it, that's it. Got to get it by the roots, huh? Brother Chad. All right. Shouldn't be a gate. Anybody else? Something you thought about that you want to share with us? You go. Amen. Anybody else?
This might sound a bit cheesy, but if you give your mouth a cookie, it's going to want some milk. If you allow it, if the world wants carnality, to let carnality slide, you give it to them.
That's it. Never satisfied. Anybody else? Anybody else tonight? Any of you ladies? I mean, we heard from some of you men. Any of you ladies thought of something? Gloria? No. Praise God. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we honor you tonight. We're blessed to be in your house. Thank you for the goodness of your word and your grace. We give you our honor and our praise tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. May you grow in God, and let's go to heaven how? Make sure you greet our guests with us tonight.